Exodus 15, if we could. We'll begin in verse 22 this morning. Familiar portion of Scripture. And so Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out to the wilderness of Shur. And they went 3 days in the wilderness, and they found no water. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Marah. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" And he then cried unto the Lord. And the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast it into the waters were made sweet. And there he made an ordinance and a statute for them, and there he proved them. And he said, "If you will diligently hearken unto the voice of the Lord your God, and do what which is right in his sight, and will give ear unto his commandments, and keep all of his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon you, which I have brought upon the Egyptians. For I am the Lord that healeth you." Amen. "For I am the Lord that healeth you." You can't be healed by man. You can't be healed by religion. You can't be healed by traditions. Only by the hand of God can we receive divine healing. And friend, that comes through Jesus Christ and Him crucified for you. Everything we need from the Lord is found in the finished work of Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. The message this morning, the Lord showed me a tree. Have you seen the tree? Has He shown you the tree whereof Moses was shown? The message this morning, the Lord showed me a tree. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, again, we are thankful for those that have gathered in your name. It's our heart this morning, Lord Jesus, that everyone here would receive as the oracles of God, that their heart and their understanding in their spirit man be opened. We pray for a moving of your spirit, Father. We pray, Lord, visit us from heaven, Lord. Do what only divine hands can do, and God, move beyond the carnality of our hearts and our lives, Lord. Lord, give us a breakthrough in the Holy Spirit. Lord, let the Word of God come alive and let the truth of Scripture be revealed to every one of our hearts. Lord, give Livestream their portion this morning. Bless them, touch them, heal them in the name of the Lord Jesus. And bless the children's church downstairs that they receive their portion in Jesus Christ. And everyone said amen and amen. Praise the Lord. 3 days before our text here, the children of Israel had witnessed probably the greatest display of God's power ever recorded in Scripture. God had miraculously delivered them out of the hand of Egyptian bondage. From the taskmasters of Pharaoh, from the slave-driving whips of the slave masters, Israel, by crying out to God, God sent a deliverer, and after 400 years of being enslaved in Egypt, they were now brought out as a great congregation. Theologians tell us that it wasn't just a small little church that God brought out of Egypt, but probably 3 million strong with women and children and what the Bible calls some of the strangers. The strangers are people that were non-Jewish. These were the people that were the helpers of the Jews or friends of the Jews, but they wanted out of Egypt too. And all they had to do is obey what God had sent forth, that they had to just slay the Passover lamb, be in the house, put the blood on the side of the doorpost and over the lintel that's on top there. And if they would do that through that Passover night, the death angel passed through and it would not touch any of them. Amen? That is yet a picture that God's delivering power is not by the great miracles and display of His power as He crushed Egypt through the great plagues He sent forth to that land, but man is never delivered until he is hid with Christ in God, amen, until the blood has been shed and it's been put on the doorpost of one's heart, amen. I've said it a million times, I'll say it one more time. It is the Jesus that we've made room for in our hearts that God blesses. So when I say God bless you, it's the Christ in you that God blesses, and you receive the joint heir blessing of the one who lives in your heart. Outside of Christ, to tell you God bless you, God cannot bless you the way you'd like to be blessed without you having personally by faith made room for Jesus Christ in your heart. Amen. Hallelujah. We say this all the time. We hear presidents say, oh, God bless America. Well, I want God to bless our land. But he blesses the Christ that has been made room for in this land. God only blesses his son. In him is he well pleased. He was not well pleased with you and with me and the rest of the human race. The Word of God tells us in the Old Testament, he sought for one who could stand in the gap. He was looking for an intercessor, but found none. But there was one that was found perfect and righteous. It was the Son of God who incarnated into this world, came through the womb of a virgin, and lived the perfect life and paid the sin debt of man. Hallelujah. It was through Jesus Christ and his shed blood that God can now bless whosoever will. Receive him, to them gave he power to become a son or daughter of God. You see, when you preach it like this, it makes a difference. The generic religious Jesus, we just got this idea. Go to church, get your little communion, get your little bumper sticker that says, I've been baptized or some other thing, and we think we got it. We just go live our life. But that's not how this thing works. Had any of the Israelites rebelled against what God through Moses told the Israelites to do that Passover evening, they would have been crushed as God crushed Pharaoh that great night as God delivered the Israelites out. Because if they were not found in the house, if you are and I are not found in the house, what does that mean today, Pastor? If you and I are not personally found by God in Christ, are you in Christ? I didn't say in religion. I didn't say in church. I didn't say stooped in your religious traditions. I said, are you and I in Christ? Even Paul, the great apostle, prayed. He said, that I might be found in him. Amen. In him. We must be found in him. When that trumpet blows and the rapture takes place, I've said it this way too. You may be in the middle of a hallelujah and finish the luya in the clouds. Amen? But if we are left behind, it would be evident we were not in Christ as we should have been or thought we were. Amen? Now, you'll have a few years to get it right. It will cost you. You may be beheaded for your faith, because in the Great Tribulation, Christianity will be outlawed and its penalty will be death by beheading. Read the book of Revelation. Amen. But at least you won't lose your soul. Amen. I'd rather go via the rapture, though, if you don't mind. Amen. Hallelujah. But God brought those Israelites out as he had promised aforetime in the scriptures. He had told Joseph. He had shared that with Abraham. They would be 400 years and they would be under heavy slavery. They were God's people. But the generation, let me just remind you this. The generation that God delivered out of Egypt only knew about Joseph by what they were told. Only knew about Abraham by what they were told. They were not a generation that currently had experienced the great power of God. Amen? They just had to hear about it. And all of a sudden, one day, Moses shows up. God is starting to move. You just walk with me in this. All of a sudden, they're under the worst conditions a human being can be under, and they've been crying out to God for some time. As a new Pharaoh arose that didn't know Joseph and could care less that these were God's people. And the oppression began. And it got to the point where they were starting to cry out to God for their deliverance. Amen? I've said it 100 times, but let me say it one more time. Before we see revival in the church, God has to do something, allow things to come, allow things to happen that brings you and I to our knees. God will move in revival, but it's not man conjured. It is not schemed by the hand of man. No mortal flesh glories, at least shouldn't glory, when God begins to move in revival. You say, well, I think man can bring a revival about. Well, where is it? What's taking you so long? Amen. You think you can make it happen? Why don't you have a church and have 10,000 people shown up? Man can't institute revival. Revival is a God thing. And what God does when he is ready to move on the body of Christ, when he's ready to move in this world, he allows some trouble to come. He begins to stir up hearts, and they begin to call on the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, we're starting to see some things going on. The terrorism that we're starting to see on our homeland, on our home shores. You know what they're dealing with in Israel right now? At random now, Muslims have been instructed through this form of jihad to just walk down the city streets as a normal civilian, flip around, pull the knife out, and kill a few as you're walking down the street. That's what they're dealing with. There's no way to see it coming ahead of time. And friend, I wonder if the Church of Jesus Christ don't get its head out of the world and get its head out of tradition and religion and get its head out of self-righteousness and self-fulfillment, we're going to see some things come to our land that will bring every one of us to our knees. But I'm here to say God will allow it. And God will allow it because God is getting ready to open up the floodgates of revival and the floodgates of blessing. Amen? God is going to get the church back to its right place, back to the foot of the cross, back to its need for God. Amen? Hallelujah. And that's the problem we have in the land. We can have church without the Holy Spirit. We can have church without God. We can have church without a moving of His Spirit nowadays. They say 95% of churches, if God would lift his hand, they just go on as normal. Well, no, he's missing. Amen. Not here. Amen. We may not be clicking on all 8 cylinders, but we're at least clicking on 6.5. Amen. We'll just keep tweaking the engine as God helps us. This thing will run as it should. Just give us time, be graceful and patient. Amen. You're not God, and neither am I. Amen. Hallelujah. But Israel, she's brought out. And God corners her in between two mountains with Pharaoh's army behind them and the Red Sea in front of them. And Moses goes to God and says, "What should we do?" He said, "Why are you crying to me? Go forward. Forward is the water, Lord." There's no place to go. Oh, you don't think there's no place to go? Are you been hemmed in lately by circumstances? You've been a little troubled because of the enemy right on your trail. Hallelujah. Maybe so, maybe not. But God said, go through. And God showed a great miracle of power that night as that east wind blew and God parted those waters and Israel got to the other side, amen? And as soon as she got to the other side, my God, the Spirit of God fell when they realized what God had done for them and realized they had just witnessed the greatest display of the power and glory of God the world has ever seen. And it says that Miriam took a tambourine and she began to sing before the Lord and she began to say, "Oh, the horse and the rider, he's thrown into the sea. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. Hallelujah. God's glory has been manifest. Hallelujah." And it was revival. My God, it was a move of God. Man, we've never seen nothing like this. Look at God brought us out through the Red Sea. But now, like a shepherd, it's time to go home from the revival. Problem is, Israel can't go home. God's given her a new place, and it's called the land of Canaan, which is only an 11-day journey away. God is leading his people. He's leading that great congregation as a flock, and God is leading them through. They've just come through witnessing the great power of God. That generation never saw anything like that before. Even the generation of Joseph and of Abraham never saw the manifest power of God. Like they saw how God crushed Egypt by the plagues that he sent forth, how God delivered them through the Red Sea, how the Passover lamb was shed, and the spiritual theology that they're starting to learn as God's people, that your blessing comes by my hand extended through the work of the blood of my son that will come some 3,500 years later. It's a picture story for every generation to realize that nobody gets delivered without proper appropriation of the blood that was shed for you and for me. You talk too much about the cross. How can you talk too much about it? I'll guarantee those of you that have that heart are not free. There's bondage in your life. Well, I'm not in sin. No, but that self-righteousness, that pride that says, I just don't need all that. You're just taking that too far. Get saved. Fall in love with Jesus. Get to the foot of the cross and find Christ, who is your life, who is your light. That's your victory. That's the freedom of your children and your grandbabies. That's the blessing of your future generations. That's the liberty of your heart. That's your victory over nicotine, over alcohol, over profanity, over ego, over pride, over strife, over whispering and murmuring and gossiping and complaining. That's your victory. That's my help of the future. That's my hope of tomorrow. That blood brings me into His rest, brings me into the glorious liberty of the Son of God. That blood ensures that the promises of God for me are yes and amen. That I can believe Him for healing. That I can believe Him for blessing. That I can believe Him for financial prosperity. That I can believe Him for divine providence working in my life. That I can see the grace of God working in my life. That I can be whole and complete. Amen. That I see the power of God working in my house, in my house, in my marriage, in my children, in my church. Amen. It's revival. Hallelujah. The women were singing, praising. It was a move of God. Well, hallelujah. There's nothing like a Holy Ghost service. There's nothing like when the Spirit of the Lord just brings the joy of the Lord and God is moving and sweeping through the congregation. Nothing like that. Hallelujah. But it's time to go home. It's time to journey on. That was Sunday night. Monday's coming. And the Israelites begin the journey. And God was showing them that He was their shepherd. He was going to lead them on. Through the hand of Moses. All they were following, and I kind of mentioned this, I think Wednesday night, they were following a man with a stick and a brother-in-law by the name of Aaron that backslid every 30 days. And they were leading 3 million people through the wilderness. You know, folks, can I say, it's amazing who God chooses. When God chooses somebody, keep your hands off of them. They're not going to look like what you think. They're not going to, how can I say, come out of the pedigree. You know, I think, what prophet was in the Old Testament says, I'm just a herdsman. I always say it this way, I'm just a body man. And I am. I much rather enjoy being out in my shop, getting dirty and dusty and painting and doing stuff, working with that. That's me. But God has called Liz and I. Amen. We're like the Green Acres bunch. Liz loves the city, I love the farm. Amen. Oh, she loves the farm too. Don't get me wrong. I wish that program would continue on and then see the wife start to come his way, then he comes her way too. Amen. I said it with Liz and I, we meet in the middle. We're 14 years different. So I go down 7, she comes up 7, we meet at the middle. Amen. So that would put us at about 47 or 8 years old now instead of 56 and 42. Amen. The beauty of this is that it works because God is in it. Amen. Folks, can I say, can you let those of you that are single, let God pick the one. Don't go looking for them. Don't go fornicator.com and try to find. You're not going to find good food out of a dumpster. Can I say this, and I want to encourage you. I know the years seem to go on, but if you put God first and properly follow Him, that person will cross your path just by the providence of God in the right time. And can I tell you another thing? Put your laundry list before the Lord and ask Him what you'd like, but let God tweak your list. They may not quite be what you thought from the outward, but they're the one God has for you, and they will bless you. And be a blessing and not a burden. That's good teaching, Pastor. Amen. God is leading Israel. They've just left revival. They're being led like a shepherd. It says in Psalm 77, "Thou leddest thy people like a flock by the hand of Moses and by Aaron." You see, folks, we are being led through life by our shepherd, Jesus Christ. And I want us just to take a moment before I get into the heart of where we're going here. But I want us to look at the nature of this shepherd we're following. If you're truly born again and you have a faith walk with Jesus Christ, there's a threefold nature of the shepherd that we need to know about. Number one, Jesus said of himself, "I am the good shepherd." Who was leading Israel out of that? Was the pre-incarnate Jesus Christ through the hand of Moses, leading that 3 million strong through that wilderness, trying to bring them into a land that flowed with milk and with honey. The destiny God has for all of us is a good destiny. He is the good shepherd. Obstacles along the way, difficulties along the way, but God is good. And He is the good shepherd. And the characteristic of the good shepherd is that He lays down His life for the sheep. You say, "God don't love me." Oh, He proved it by laying His life down to pay your sin debt. That's how much He loves you. Jesus said, "I will never leave you. I will never forsake you." The hireling, when he sees trouble come, will flee you and leave you abandoned. But your Jesus, no matter where you're at, amen, He never leaves you. If you leave Him, He still don't leave you. You may be 100 miles from God, spiritually speaking, this morning, but He has never left you. He is still the good shepherd, and some of the trouble you're having in your life is His little wake-up call to get you back to His heart. Amen? He is the good shepherd, and the good shepherd lays down His life for the sheep. But He's also the great shepherd. He is that great shepherd of the sheep. And the Bible says concerning the great shepherd of the sheep, that God has raised Him from the dead and made Him the mediator of the everlasting covenant. In other words, the one who died for you, God raised Him from the dead, and now He ever liveth to make intercession for you. In other words, because of the nature of the shepherd, not only does He lay down His life for the sheep, He lives and exists solely for His flock. That is His priority. Amen. He may be out building other worlds and new solar systems, we don't know. But His first call, His first priority now is that He, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, lives for you. He lives for you. He's been raised for your justification. He shed His blood for your redemption. And He constantly sits at the right hand of God, His Father, and He's always, always, always standing in the gap for you. Hallelujah. But not only is He the good shepherd, not only is He the great shepherd, but He's the chief shepherd. And because He's the chief shepherd, the Bible says He comes again. Amen. Jesus said, "I won't leave you comfortless. I will. If I go away, I'm coming again for you." Amen. He left to prepare a place for us, but He's coming again for His own. That doesn't sound like a God that lets us abandon, that abandons His people. The Word of God tells us God is not very far from any one of us. I always say it this way, He's as close as a mention of His name. But it's that shepherd, that one, the good shepherd, the great shepherd, the chief shepherd, that is leading Israel like a flock and trying to bring her to her eternal destiny in the land of Canaan. And they're 3 days away from revival. And the journey goes on. Where are we going? We're just following Moses. Just watch the stick. We'll see it as Moses walks. We'll just follow the stick. In a sense, that's a type of the cross. Amen. That rod, the rod of God, yeah, it's a type of the word, but it's a type of the cross. It's a type of the authority of God given to a man. It shows us that the stick in Moses' hands was not Moses' authority. It was God that he was clinging to that gave Moses the authority he needed to lead God's people. When we hold up the cross here in 2015, we are not in ourselves saying we are anything. We are only clinging to the truth that makes men free. Amen. And we follow the blood of that cross our every waking day until Jesus either raptures us out of this life or calls us home through the grave. One way or another, we follow Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. But 3 days go on. Like we said Wednesday night, the children are thirsty. Mama's thirsty. Dad is thirsty. The animals, they're bleeding. They're noisy. We can't keep going like this, Moses. We need water. We're parched. And we're trying to take another step. What are we going to do? And as they looked around, they weren't seeing anything. There was no great lake there. There was no big green lake. There was no reservoir of water except off in the distance. They come and they finally see a pool of water. It had to be a pretty big pool of water because there's 3 million of them. And when they finally get there, finally water. And they got there and all of a sudden the water was foul. The other night, as we were zoning out on the couch towards the end of our day, I was watching a program called Survivor Man. Some of you ever see that? It's a man that goes out with just no camera crew. He goes out and he tries to survive for 7 days in the wilderness, wherever he ends up. Well, they showed him in the back side of Australia there. And he was out in nowhere land. And he had come up to this pool of water. And as he filmed the pool of water, he thought, wow, I have something refreshing here. But as he got there were dead animal carcasses in the water. There were feces. There was urine. There was all, you can just tell it was full of mud and muck, and there was no other water around to be found. I wonder if that was a little bit what they came upon as 3 million strong. Did they come to a place where there were dead animal carcasses in there, where the water was fouled and poisoned? I don't know what was in that water, but you can almost imagine what it was probably like. This is a desert place. What gathers around water pools and deserts? Animals. Amen? And the waters were foul. The Bible says it was bitter waters. You see, friend, life, being led by Christ, we will from time to time, remember, they're only 3 days away from the Red Sea. They're only 3 days away from the greatest revival ever known to mankind. You would think they would live that, hey, God delivered us once. He'll do it again. Foul waters, that ain't nothing for God. I know I'm thirsty. I don't know what God is going to do. But if he brought us this way, he's a good shepherd. He's the chief shepherd. He's the great shepherd. I know that if he's led me this way, that somehow there's a way through. See, that's what faith should have said. But 3 days in, 3 days away from the move of God, it was church night on Sunday night, we had revival. It's Wednesday morning. And we come to foul waters. And the Bible said they begin to murmur against God and against Moses, and they were going to kill the man. But the Bible says in the midst of that turmoil that God showed Moses a tree. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Listen, put yourself in the story. You've seen God move. God has worked in your life. He's saved you. He's filled you with the Holy Spirit. God has done great things in your life. But now you're finding yourself as you feel you're being led by the Lord. You're coming into some obstacles of life. Listen, this is what a commentator said about this event. When they come to the waters of Marah, it says, While in the wilderness, may and will make manifest the weakness of God's saints as well as our failures. This is only to magnify the power and the mercy of him who brought us into the place of testing. We must always understand that God always has in view our ultimate good, and the waters of Marah typify life and its many disappointments. In this world, folks, we will have troubles. We will have tribulations. We will come at times as being led by God to some very difficult seasons and obstacles in our life from time to time. Life still happens. It yet rains on the just and the unjust. And it's not always our failure that brought us to the waters of Marah. Sometimes just in the providence of God, because ultimately He has our good at His heart. He's trying to bring us through something and give us a faith lesson. I've been sharing this a lot. Listen, folks, we got to come to the point that we live by what we know. But what we know is truth. Not by what I feel or by my fickle emotions. Amen? My emotions will take me high and they'll take me low. My emotions are as unstable as water. But when we learn a truth, no matter what it is I find myself dealing with and going through, it doesn't mean I like it, doesn't mean I won't show some emotion in it. Have you arrived? Every time something goes wrong, do we see you lifting your hands and praising God and strengthening the family and saying, oh, what an opportunity for God to move for us now? Or is it like, of all times, this has to happen? Why now? Come on. Ask Brother Pat about his truck. Why does it got to break down now? Hallelujah. Must be a Ford. I'm just kidding. I say that because my son Nick just bought a new truck, a new Ford truck. We're Chevy and Chrysler people. Now he's got a Ford sitting in the driveway, but I got to admit, it's pretty nice. So little by little, I'm being converted a little bit by little bit. Amen. You know, Ford took it to heart, that old saying, on a quiet night, you can hear a Ford rust. And you know what they're doing now? They're making the new trucks out of aluminum. They won't rust. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, glory. Hallelujah. 12 years from now, when that new Chevy is coming to me for new rocker panels and wheel arches and everything like that, that old Ford just keeps driving down the road. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, let's get back to the truth that makes us free. Amen. We come to bitter circumstances in life. I've said this last few weeks, but our dog raises a puppy with the boys. That little ball of fur. You know what I'm talking about, because you have little critters that mean that they're more important to you than your own life at times. But we found out when she was going for a little routine surgery that she's full of cancer. Only 6 years old. That hit us hard. Amen. But that's not the hardest thing that's hit us through life. That's just one of the recent things that it was a setback. It shook me. It shook me. It shook us. But you know what we're doing now? God has given us strength. We're laying hands on that little puppy, binding up those little tumors. Amen. Amen. Change your diet a little bit. We're just believing God. And if we have to put her down soon, life goes on. Amen. But life, some of you are facing some very, very excruciating circumstances. And it's a bitter experience. Some of you got marriage woes. Some of you got things going on in your character, your spirit, that if you don't get help, you fear playing the fool. Some of us are in such financial upheaval that if God don't go through, I'll lose my house. I might lose my vehicle. Some of you are in other circumstances of needing of a healing. We prayed for those this morning. Brother Roger needs a miracle in his heart. Sister May needs healing from a cancer situation. Others of you, if you're not there today, Tuesday will be here. Amen. Some of us, we see our children backslid with no hope. Some of us have grandchildren that are suicidal. Some of us are just facing other dilemmas. And it's a bitter situation. But remember what I just told you about God just gave them revival? Remember what I just told you about that He's leading them? Remember what I just told you about that He's a good shepherd that will lay His life down for the sheep? And He's the great shepherd who was raised from the dead that He could continue working in His sheep. And did I just tell you not too long ago, a few moments ago, that He's the chief shepherd, and no matter what this life hurls at you, He's coming for you again. And He's not going to leave you comfortless. And He's not going to leave you without a miracle in His pocket. Amen. That setback is nothing more than a little hiccup in your history. That God will bring you through. That God has a plan because He's good. And your ultimate good is what He has planned. And ultimately, He's going to deliver you and bring you through that situation. And it's an opportunity for you to look at Jesus Christ, to call on His name, and to believe Him for a miracle from heaven. Hallelujah. Don't I realize? You know, that's what the Bible says here. They got to the bitter waters, and there was no way that they could see naturally that this could be remedied. But God had a plan. And God showed the man of God, He showed him a tree. I've heard commentators try to tell us that there was medicinal properties on that tree. And when they threw that tree in there, there was some chemicals in that tree that healed those waters. I'm going to tell you this. The leaves of that tree had nothing to do with it. And what's one little tree going to do that Moses can throw in there to a pool that can water 3 million people? That thing was probably the size of a small lake. No, the miracle wasn't in the chemical properties of that tree. That tree represented what God was going to do for mankind 3,000 years later through the cross of Jesus Christ. And if God shows you the tree, you must see the tree. God showed Moses the tree. I saw that tree 10, 12 years ago. It's brought healing. I'm here to say, put the cross into your circumstance. Put the finished work of Jesus into the problem. Oh, will you by faith? Has God shown you the tree? Has God shown you the tree? When we're still trying to send men off to the psycho farm, God didn't show you no tree yet. When we're trying to tell you to do things that'll give you the victory, you haven't seen the tree. We've been preaching the cross for 12, 14 years. 15 years, we started at Richwood a little bit there. I began to see the tree. I started to see the tree. Bitter waters, life was hard. Things weren't going right. I love God. I'm consecrated to God. But there's troubles, there's problems. Things aren't working the way they should. Where's this victory? Where's this power? Where's the advancement of God? What's going on? So I tried harder, and I tried harder, and I tried harder. To the point where I almost collapsed through physical and spiritual exhaustion. But God had a remedy for my situation, as He has a remedy for every one of your circumstances and situations. God is going to first show you, when you begin to seek the Lord about those wayward grandchildren, those wayward sons and daughters, when you take it before God with your financial condition, your physical condition, your emotional health, wherever you're at, whatever is the bitter waters in your life, God is not going to tell you to go a 12-step program to cure the waters. He's not going to tell you to do a Jericho march and get religious. You know, what if somebody was there and saying, you know, I know it's not happened yet, but why don't we walk 7 times with the praise team around the problem, and God will, I know, let's just blow a shofar. That'll get God to move. Folks, I say this without condemnation, but we've tried all those things to cure the bitter waters of life. But God is trying to show you a tree. He's trying to show you a tree. What is that tree? It's a type of the cross. It's a type of the finished work of Jesus Christ. It's a type of the shed blood of Christ on your behalf. Amen? He's trying to show the modern church the tree. He's trying to show you the tree. Amen? Have you seen the tree? Have you seen the cross? Is it a revelation in your heart and in your spirit? Well, you talk about it all the time, Pastor. I got a cross that I just hang around my neck and I wave it to my... That's not what we're talking about. It's not a relic. It's not an item. It is a revelation that Paul would even pray that God open the mind of your innerward understanding. You have to have a revelation given to you by Christ of what the finished work of the cross is all about and how it applies to your daily life and your daily sanctification. That's why the message of the cross is so withstood. Religious people hate it. Apathetic people don't want it. But there's a few that are at the bitter waters of life and said that I need something from God. Amen. I need a miracle from God. I need a power encounter with God. And as I approach God on it, God's always going to take me to the tree. He's always going to take me that my faith be in the finished work of Jesus Christ. Every time, every day, every waking moment of every day. Hallelujah. Has he shown you the tree? We've been trying to preach it for 12 years. Have you seen it? Yes or no? Maybe some of you are on that pathway. God is opening your eyes little by little. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Have you seen the tree? Has God shown you the tree? The name of the message this morning. God showed me a tree. I shared this Wednesday night. I've shared this a few times. Liz and I, we went through a 5-6 year span of time. I mean, Brother Doug, my sister, went through part of it too because my mom and dad both contracted cancer 3 years apart. Both passed away at the age of 66. In the midst of that, Grandma, who was 102, that we expected, but she was called to the Lord 3 months later. We're burying my dad. 3 years later, we're burying my mother. In the midst of all that, we were coming out of religion and breaking away from an organization that believed that apostles are your head, and you answer to them, and you do what they say. And they thought that the way to victory is get a prophet and let him prophesy over you and tell you, thus saith the Lord, you're going to be great. You're going to be everything. Your name's going to be in bright lights. Oh, God's going to do great things for you, brother. Oh, God's going to, oh, blah, 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 blah. And it's like, Amen. There were troubles going on in my daughters were peeking out in their running away from God. Amen. I had a business that the real estate crash came, and I'm in a lease, and there's no easy way out of it, and I find myself $40,000 upside down. You wonder why I'm bivocational? I got debts to pay. Well, if God was in it, Pastor, God will help me through, but you know what? God is using that to show me this is where people live, to keep that pressure on my life. So back off. Back off. Life is a buffet table, like Lauren says. Eat off your own plate. Amen. 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 We all have situations and things that, how did we get there? Yeah, you can look back and, I could have avoided this, could have avoided this. But, life just don't always work that way, because eventually you get to the bitter waters. Every one of us. Every one of us. And in that time span, there'll be times I come home from work, I was white as a sheet. I'm exhausted. I don't know what to do. I'm still preaching. I'm still preaching faith. I'm still preaching believing God. I'm showing up on Wednesday nights, Sunday mornings. We're going to Fort Atkinson on Sunday nights. We're doing our best to do the work of God. Amen. We are pouring out and pouring out, and I'm pouring out, and I'm trying to keep a business afloat, trying to meet contractual obligations. But through it all, I can honestly say that God was trying to show me the tree. Oh, I've been preaching the cross. I've been seeing the truth. But God had to test it in my life. And God had to bring me through my own personal Job season of life. And can I tell you something, folks? I'm still here. I'm still standing. We're still believing. I still love Jesus. Hallelujah. My heart is whole in Christ. And the half has not yet been told. Folks, can I tell you something? When you hit your bitter waters, God is always going to take you to Jesus Christ and His shed blood. He's always going to show you the tree. Musicians, please. He's always going to bring you to that truth. That you can find rest. That you can find mercy. That you can find hope and redemption and the powerment of God. That you can find that the promises in Him are yes and amen. That you can literally begin to see God's grace working in your life on a daily basis. Why? Because you have found rest through the revelation of the tree, the cross. And I put that in my circumstance. I put that in my finances. I put that truth in my business. I put that truth in Promised Land Church. I put that truth in my children. I put that truth in my marriage. I put that truth in everything that pertains unto my life. God showed me the tree. And that's why I can't stop talking about it. Amen. Hallelujah. Because, friend, that is your source. That is your victory. That is your future. That's your hope. That's your empowerment. Jesus Christ and Him crucified for you. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's stand in the house this morning. I got more notes I could preach on, but I feel the point has been made. Has God shown you the tree? Have you seen the tree? Is that tree becoming more real to you? Because the more you see the revelation that Christ did it all for me, that it's all a finished work, that He is a good shepherd, He is a great shepherd, He is the chief shepherd of my life. That He's leading me every step of the way. He has never left me. He has never forsaken me. And never will. God has our ultimate good. He's not here to chide us. He's not here to crush us. But He's here that you may find that truth in His Son. And that every blessing you receive, God will start bring it to you on the platform of His grace. Because your faith, as Israel of old, is not in what you can do, but it's in what He has already done. And if you believe that by faith, revival will come to your heart, your spirit. Renewal of mind will come to your heart, your spirit. You will see the hand of God tangibly working in that very thing you put the cross into, put the tree into. You will begin to see it work. Oh, it might get worse, but you're seeing it work. Why does it get worse, Pastor? Because whatever you put Jesus in charge of, He goes right to work and starts bringing the agitation and starts getting that thing ready for surgery because things are going to change. But I'm here to say, if you'll hang on, He'll bring you out. He'll bring you through. He'll deliver. He'll make free. He'll show you the tree and the power of what Christ can do. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, this morning, I know we had already prayed for healing needs, but why don't we just come to this altar? And let's, as a congregation, ask God to show us. Show me the cross, Lord. Show me how the finished work can work in my anger problem. Work in my critical spirit. can work in my children, can work in my finances, can work in my arrogance, can work in my hopelessness, my depression, my oppression. Yes, the cross, the blood. God will bring it through. He'll bring you through. Let's come to this altar as we sing. Let's come to this altar and let's just call on the Lord together.
You deserve the glory.
Let's just call on His name. Let's just ask Him this morning to open up the message of the cross, the preaching of the cross, the truth of the cross. Show me the tree, Lord. Show me the tree. Oh, that we see it by revelation, that it gets in our spirit. The Bible is the story of the cross. I got to see that that's the story of the cross. Let's come. I have a hope. I have a future. I have a tomorrow. I have an eternity with Christ. Hallelujah. All the promises in Him are yes and amen. Let's call on His name. Let's believe Him this morning. Show us the tree, O God. Show us the tree, O God. Show us the finished work. Show us the cross. Oh, let us see the power of the blood. Let us see the glory of God this morning. Let us see it. Let us perceive it. Let us see with spiritual eyes the truth this morning. Father, I ask from the least to the greatest in this house, Lord, that all of us would begin to see the power, the truth of that finished work, that there's hope of a future, that Jesus Christ is a good shepherd, the chief shepherd, the great shepherd of my life, that He's leading me, even if I come to bitter waters, that there is a remedy. It's called the cross. It's called the blood of the Lamb. Lord, that I'm resting in Christ, that I'm resting in Him, that I'm trusting Him this morning. Oh, be with us, Lord. Bless us this morning, oh God. Oh, send personal renewal, personal revival. Give us personal victory in Jesus. Lord, move on our hearts this morning. Oh God, we thank You, we praise You, we give You the glory.
So great, no one else like You. Lord, there is no one else like You. You deserve glory.
Let's worship Him. Let's take a few moments. Let's just worship and thank Him this morning. If you're struggling with the message of the tree, the message of the cross, make it a daily prayer. Father, show me this truth. Whatever it takes, Lord, let it be a revelation in my heart, my spirit man, that I can be walking in this truth that makes men whole, that makes men free. That where I begin to see the true power of God working through the hand, the extended hand of my Savior, Jesus Christ.
Lord, there is no